Il-program li ser tisimaw u għam iġi upli l-kombixu għattajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today Dr. Claude Farrugia. As usual, just a word about my guest. Dr. Farrugia graduated cum laude from the University of Malta in 1991 with a BPharm honours degree. In 1994, he was awarded a scholarship grant by the University of Malta and a research assistantship by the Institute for Tuberculosis Research at the University of Illinois at Chicago, enabling him to pursue his studies towards a PhD in pharmacy with specialization in pharmaceutics. This he obtained in December of 1998. Dr. Farrugia was appointed, after some time working at Junior College, as a senior lecturer in chemistry in the Department of Chemistry. That was in 2007. He currently lectures in biological and applied chemistry and oversees all the department's chemistry practical study units. Dr. Farrugia has close links with industry in Malta, pharmaceutical industry in particular, with experience in good manufacturing practices, quality assurance and regulatory affairs. He has been president of the Malta Qualified Persons Association since 2004 and is also currently the deputy chairman of the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Business Section in the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry. And he's also vice president communications of the European Industrial Pharmacists Group. And he's also been, as we will hear, involved in these last years in two ERDF projects. Those are the European Regional Development Funds. As I said, we'll hear more about that later. He's obviously the author of several books in various areas of research, again, about which we shall no doubt be hearing. Welcome to the program. Perhaps we could start off by hearing a little bit about chemistry now, in 2012. I mean, my knowledge of chemistry, I'm afraid, is very poor, but I do recognise, of course, that it is a fascinating subject which branches into all sorts of areas of our lives and is incredibly important. So where does it stand today, really, within a university context?
Well, chemistry is a very applied science. There are various disciplines, biology, pharmacy, and all of which depend heavily on the application of chemistry. In fact, recent developments in the education scenario at a national level are trying to emphasize this aspect that we should look mainly at the applications of chemistry in order to understand its basic principles. Chemistry itself has always interested me. However, it was really its applications which found greatest interest for me. In fact, my first degree and my doctorate are in pharmacy, but I eventually found my way into chemistry as a topic which can be used to explain so many functions, so many processes in the both the industrial and also in the biological scenarios.
In fact, I know a mathematician here at the university who has also, after some years, branched into chemistry. So there are even links with mathematics. Here, obviously, you're lecturing. You've mentioned that you do lecture in various areas. What kind of subjects do you lecture in?
Well, there are various sub-areas or areas of specialty in chemistry. For example, our listeners might be more familiar with perhaps hearing about organic chemistry, inorganic chemistry. However, there are other branches of chemistry, such as physical chemistry, and in more recent years, an area of chemistry that is acquiring increasing importance is that of biological chemistry, which attempts to use chemical principles to explain in coherently what happens in various biological phenomena, various medical phenomena. Another area that the department is of chemistry is emphasizing upon is the area of applied chemistry, in recognition of the fact that chemistry doesn't only need to be studied as a theoretical subject. The theory is important. One has to build the foundations correctly. However, then once the foundations are built, students will have much more interest in the topic if they see its practical applications. One area which we are applying with a lot of interest is in that where the chemistry relates to the pharmaceutical industry in Malta, because this is obviously an industry that has experienced a lot of growth in recent years through foreign direct investment, and therefore requires human resources which need to be produced by the university. And the Department of Chemistry has a major role to play in this area. In fact, our graduates are in constant demand in these in this particular industry.
The students, you've mentioned the graduates, the students that you have, first of all, are they predominantly male, or do you have female chemists?
I think the numbers are more or less evenly balanced. We have some years in which we actually have more female than male students, but by and large they are evenly balanced.
But where do they come from? I mean, in the sense that, okay, they've done their chemistry A level, and they probably come from a science background as far as sixth form is concerned.
Yes, that is correct. What distinguishes the students mainly is whether their interest is predominantly for chemistry or whether they wish to learn more about the chemistry in association with some other particular topic. With this in mind, the department actually offers three undergraduate degrees. There is the double honors, where students study two main areas of study. One of them is obviously chemistry. The other one, at the moment, there are three areas which where chemistry links up with. One of these is predominantly biology, which has been there for many years, and most of our double honor students are in fact chemistry and biology students. Then another area which is consistently interesting to a smaller number is that of chemistry and physics. And recently we've also linked up with the Department of Statistics, so we now offer also as well chemistry and statistics. It has yet to be taken up by any students. There is this reticence by students when it comes to getting involved in mathematics and particularly in statistics. However, we hope that in with future years, with the revolution that there is going to be in the education scenario, that these labels will, these barriers will be broken down. More recently, in fact, this last November we had our first graduates. We launched the single honors chemistry, which is a three-year degree and deals with chemistry in more depth and with greater applications than one would find in a double honors degree, because the students spend more time studying chemistry. It is also a degree which tries to apply highly for the industry. In fact, we have in this degree placement study units where the students actually spend part of their time studying practicing within the industry and getting credit for it. And then the third degree is chemistry with materials, which exploits essentially the applications of chemistry in materials engineering. So it is really linking up chemistry with engineering studies.
And when they come in, the students, do you feel that they come in knowing what they want, or do they discover what they want while they're at university, in the sense of they probably have a job aspirations towards a particular area, a particular job, a particular industry?
By and large, not really. They will have this concept mainly of with where chemistry is concerned of, yes, chemistry in the laboratory, but chemistry is not only in the laboratory. There are many other aspects to chemistry. I think the different flavors of chemistry is something they tend to discover during their first year over here. In fact, we have discussed as possible plans for the future there's a concept in which students would come into a common stream into their first year and then eventually split up depending on their particular interests. At the moment, the way this exploited is that the students in their final year of studies carry out a dissertation, a project, and it is really here that the student, having been exposed to the many flavors of chemistry in his previous years, tends to choose a topic which is truly interesting to him and which will also be of benefit to him potentially in the job sector in which he wishes to continue to practice. For example, many students who wish to enter in the pharma industry will take up a dissertation which is done in close ties with the pharmaceutical industry.
In fact, I always feel that this is a bit of a problem with the students. They come in here when they come into the university when they're 18, most of them do anyway, and the subjects may not be presented to them at school and college in quite the wide perspective that it should be. Maybe I'm maligning.
I think this is something that needs to be given attention to. And in fact, the head of department at the moment is launching on an outreach program to try and get in touch with as many schools as possible to go there, present chemistry in its different aspects, different, so that the students can start to have a little bit of a taste of where chemistry can lead them to later on in life. Of course, there are many conceptions out there. Most students seem to have this fixation with wanting to become doctors. It is only then, as they get later on, that they start to see different flavors, particularly in the overlap areas between the subjects, and therefore you see students starting to get interested in other areas, such as pharmacy, for example. The interest in the chemistry, the core subjects, as we like to call them, chemistry and biology, admittedly, I think in the secondary schools, only a few students will really be saying, I want to study biology, I want to study chemistry. And I think it is the onus on the educators, the teachers, and also us at university to properly promote the subject, to show that really these are very applied fields, and it is worth studying them because they will lead you down so many potential career possibilities.
In fact, before you were mentioning direct investment in the economy and the link between obviously doing a course here at the university, yes, and the possibility of going out there and getting a job, because these companies that are coming into Malta clearly are looking first at Malta for their pool of employees. So we need to be providing that kind of expertise.
Yes, that's right. In the case of the pharmaceutical industry, we were somewhat reactive. The pharmaceutical industry did see a good pool of graduates existing within Malta. And with time, the various courses, both in the Faculty of Medicine and within the Faculty of Science, adapted to actually improve the quality of the graduate that was being provided to this industry. I think the important thing is that having acquired a certain experience in collaborating with the industry and delivering a certain quality of graduate, I think we are now in a position to be a bit more proactive. Much is being said of the investment in the biotechnology sector, in the biopark close to university, and I think the university should be proactive in designing programs of study which will provide human resources to potential investors prior to these investors even coming to Malta.
We're now going to take a very short break.
What about postgraduate opportunities within your area here at the university?
Well, as always, there are numbers of masters and PhDs by research. The fields are quite wide. They relate to both ones, but remember the areas of interest of study of the of the members of staff at the university. But some of us who have closer ties with the industry try to engage in projects which are of interest to the industry, actually engage in joint projects with the industry. And within the Department of Chemistry, we also then have another postgraduate degree, the Master of Science in Applied Chemistry. This is a taught master's primarily with a research component, but the interesting history behind this course is it was specifically designed upon demand by the industry. The industry had certain lacunae or wished to improve the quality of its employees in setting them on career paths, particularly in quality assurance and analytical chemistry. And the Department of Chemistry actually collaborated with the pharma manufacturers business section in order to set up an a course that would produce graduates which were fine-tuned to serve and to fall upon certain to follow certain career paths within the industry.
In fact, this link with industry is so much a sort of symbiotic, isn't it? It's us providing something to them, and perhaps also them providing something for us.
Yes, I find, particularly when, some of my students doing dissertation with me actually do the dissertation within the industry. It's a two-way street. We are providing a research outlook towards problems and the resolution of these problems, whereas in the industry they're getting exposure to a more practical side of dealing with problems. They're also getting exposure to dealing with problems within very strict a regulated environment. So all the quality assurance methods, which are not so applicable to a research environment where one is more of a free thinker, one wants to explore, one wants to push the boundaries, whereas in the industry they need to serve the needs of quality, safety and efficacy of their products in the pharma industry, and therefore they're highly regulated. And it's finding common ground between these two demands that is perhaps a learning curve both for academia and for industry. I think we have learnt, personally I have learnt a lot from this this interaction, and it then provides the ability to one to fine-tune one's research, if one so wishes, to be of interest and to attract the industry, so that rather than sending our students uniquely to industry to do research within the industry, it is also the industry coming to university because it has an interest in the research that is being done at the university.
And a word about proactive. I mean, it requires vision to be able to look out there even beyond our shores and see what is really going on in other economies. And looking to see what we might be able to sort of cash in on, to use a rather vulgar expression.
Yes, I mean, luckily in Malta, I think we have a number of individuals who do have this vision, both within the university, both within the Malta College, the MCST. So I think if we pool our efforts together and we seek to help each other, we can convert Malta into a center where rather than concentrating on levels of production, which because of our size can sometimes be somewhat limited, rather a knowledge-based economy. And this is something that we have heard various academics and politicians stress about Malta's potential to develop into a knowledge-based economy.
What about your own research areas? I mean, looking down your list of publications, I can see a very sort of wide range of interests on your part.
Well, this reflects, obviously, the fact that I try to, in my personal research, look at two streams. The first reach is the core research stream, which I do essentially within my own laboratories here at the university, based on my interests and those of some of my colleagues. I've always found it more productive when one tends to pool a number of colleagues working together on a project, because then so many ideas get thrown into the pool and the quality of what comes out at the end is so much enriched. However, at the same time, I understand that students want to be able to see applications of their research. I find it very refreshing to get input into research from colleagues, even some of them even former academics who are working within the industry, because then that it imparts a certain rigor, a certain discipline of thought that one can transpose over to one's even more academically oriented research.
Your research is sort of probably the love of your life, really. One becomes, even in the little bit I do, you sort of get so overwhelmed and involved. But one day, the pro-rector phoned you and said, Dr. Farrugia, I have a job for you. And what was that?
Well, this was the involvement in the European Regional Development Fund projects. The university was just about, they were the first projects the university was getting involved in. The Department of Chemistry had been knocking on the rector's door and the director of finance's door for a very long time, saying, we need money, we need more equipment, we need more labs. And so this was the moment for the department to put its money where its mouth was and to actually get involved. And the department got involved in two projects. The first project involved setting up the laboratories on the top floor of the Department of Chemistry, and this served a number of opportunities. First of all, it coincided with the launch of the new courses that I was mentioning previously, and therefore these were placing heavier demands on our chemistry practicals. So we needed more space within which we could carry these practicals out. The second issue was that with both my having joined the department and therefore creating this research into a new field of applied chemistry, and also around the same time an organic synthetic chemist joined our ranks, that we needed space within which to carry out our fields of research. And this was the part of the monies was actually devoted to the setting up the laboratories within which these activities could be carried out. The other part of the funds within a different project, the RDF-18, obviously with just the labs one doesn't get very far, especially in the fields of analytical chemistry, very expensive equipment is required, and therefore there was a necessity, and in fact this was brought to fruition, of investment in purchasing both equipment which is used regularly, both within research and within the industry, because it is important that our graduates, both the undergraduates and our research graduates, can move over into industry and transpose what they have learned in research by seamlessly, but also then in some state-of-the-art equipment in order to try and develop competencies and analytical research techniques, which perhaps will become the norm within the industry in future years.
And I'm just trying to imagine, you know, you're told, yes, we have this project and it's together you've got 1.2 million to spend. I mean, how do you go about it? Do you sit down with your colleagues and create a wish list of wonderful microscopes?
Well, by the time actually the department had this wish list on its cards for such a long time that it was really not a huge problem to come up with the wish list. I actually have to admit I didn't know what I was letting myself in for at the time. I've learned a lot of other aspects that go with the life of an academic, having to design tenders, having to be involved in evaluation committees, having to keep an eye on budgets, having to write regular reports. It's not just being in the lab, it's not just about teaching. These are part and parcel of being an academic, and you know, we accept it readily because it's good training. We need to get monies, but then we have to show that we are responsible in the way we can administer these monies and produce results from the investment.
What equipment were you most pleased with when you sort of finally opened the box and had a look at what you'd bought?
The ones which were of most interest to me were the liquid chromatographs. They are instruments, essentially it's quite similar to the concept of placing a drop of ink on a piece of filter paper and seeing as the ink spreads the various dyes spreading. Now these are instruments that essentially, conceptually, one can envision taking perhaps thousands of these filter papers and stacking them all over, all together in a corner which is perhaps 4 centimeters long by about 1 centimeter wide. And what one does in this compaction is to be able to resolve or to separate mixtures even more efficiently. There is obviously new technology. In fact, one of the instruments represents a significant advance in these chromatographic techniques. And we've actually linked it up with some detectors, which it's actually the only one, or I think just one of two in Malta, a mass spectrometric detector. So I think it's quite exciting about the possibilities that it gives us for future research. We're also branching now into phytochemistry, and plants, plant chemistries are, they're mixtures of many, so many different compounds. So I think the opportunities that having this equipment with its advanced abilities to separate chemicals is going to give us is really a worthwhile investment. And so, yes, I don't regret all the work that went into having to get this equipment
and
over.
And do the students get a chance to use this equipment, or is it exclusively for the academics?
Well, the students who are engaged in research definitely get their opportunities with it. We're obviously very careful in making sure that the students are very well trained and go through a period of training before they get exposed to it. We definitely engage in demonstration sessions. Those are key, and we want, in fact, to fine-tune our research study units to include both taught elements within the study units and also a number of practical or at least demonstration sessions so that the students can actually see the latest instrumentation being operated.
And when you sit down in the evening after a day's work, what kind of things do you still wish to do? I mean, you're very, very young still, and I'm sure you've got lots of things on your list of things to do, places to go. What would you like to be doing in the years to come?
Well, I think now that we've had this investment, and a significant amount of time in the past few years has been spent within administrative functions needed to ensure that this investment went through smoothly, I think now's the time for me to spend a little bit less time in administration and more time in research. The one thing I like about research is that it's so flexible. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what opportunities are going to come along. You never know where your experiments are going to lead you. And that is perhaps the most exciting thing of it all, that it's not a rigor of a same day-to-day job, which always has the same demands, the same rote roles and responsibilities. So I'm looking forward to that.
We look forward to seeing your research that's going to help to put Malta on the chemistry map. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Claude Farrugia, for coming to talk to us on University
Matters. It was a pleasure
today.
Being here.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.